when I was 17 and I met this person who was in his mid-30s and I looked to him as a mentor and everything, that he had been kind of grooming me, and that when our relationship turned sexual, I felt like I was empowered and making a decision, but in actuality, I was being manipulated and gaslit and taken advantage of.
And welcome to another episode of Too Tired to Be Crazy with me on every Thursday.
The reason I'm currently laughing is because I texted this some guy earlier and he like didn't respond the whole day. And literally my brain was like, you know what? Fuck this guy. I don't even need him. I'm so done with him. Over it. Who cares? And like literally as I'm just start recording this part, he texts me back and my brain goes like, oh my God, I love you. I love you. It's still on. He is the one. Anyway, today I have a special guest. Her name is JoJo. You guys know her. She's a super famous singer. But before we get to her episode, like I previously promised, I am going to first give you dating advice on one or two of your questions that I get from the podcast reviews. So all you have to do is go on the podcast app on Apple, scroll all the way down, give me 5 stars, and write me a review with your dating questions, and I will make sure to feature you on every single one of my episodes. So today, it is all about Ashley from Canada. So Ashley said this: I love the show. These conversations have not only taught me a lot about dating, but also the relationship I have with myself. I think almost anyone who is single and wants to do something about it could benefit from giving the show a listen. My entry/question for the show is, once I had removed all the drama in my life and rebuilt the sense of self after my last relationship ended, I essentially had no desire to date or have sex again. It's been a little over a year now. The trust issues my last relationship left me with was made seeing someone new seem so daunting, and dating stopped being fun for me. We were never officially in a relationship, but all the typical douche behavior was present, from devaluing me to gaslighting to love bombing, then the grand finale of ghosting, lol. It was a mess. Now I feel like if I'm vulnerable with anyone, I'm just signing up to do it all over again. Since there's no telling how long quarantine will last, is there anything in the meantime I can do to enjoy dating again? Well, Ashley from Canada, here's my advice. There's no way that you can avoid being hurt. You're going to keep breaking up until you find the one. So you are literally, if you're not dating for marriage, you're literally dating to break up. Unless you're dating just to get dicked and to get fucked, like also great for you. You know, it's whatever you're looking for. So you can't be so afraid of dating that now you just completely not want to try it. Or you can't be so afraid of dating that you're just going to have all these bad thoughts that the next person is just going to hurt you. If you're going to do that, and this is what I've said on my last episode, my solo episode, is that thoughts become reality. So when we're sitting there and we're constantly thinking that the next person we're going to date is going to hurt us, is going to cheat on us, is going to gaslight us, is going to ghost us, subconsciously, we end up making that a reality because we end up attracting exactly that person. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you end up dating the same exact people in your life and just in different bodies, and you keep saying like, I just know it, the next guy's going to cheat on me, and then you date the next guy and he cheats on you and you're like, oh, I fucking knew it. Because somehow, for whatever reason, subconsciously, you put that out in the universe and you attracted it. So Ashley, my advice to you is allow yourself to take a little break from the dating and allow your heart to heal from what you went through. Understand the way you went through, you didn't deserve it, but try to somehow learn a lesson from it. What you gotta do is you look at this guy who obviously did some terrible things and you look at the good things from the relationship. Whatever little things you liked about him, whether he always opened your car door or he was texting you a lot in the beginning, whatever things you really enjoy, you take that with you and you bring it into your next relationship. Whatever things you didn't like about him, you take that with you and you bring it in to your next relationship with what you're not looking for in a partner. Every time we date somebody, regardless if it ends on a bad note or if it doesn't work out, what you can do from it is what you can learn. And it can help you learn what you want in your next relationship and what you don't want. And you got to start fresh. You can't just assume people are going to hurt you, because then you're never going to open up. You're never going to allow anyone to come into your life. It's not fair for somebody else to be punished for something that they never did to you yet. Like, you can't just assume someone's going to hurt you. You know, it's not fair. Then you're just going to build up a wall with them and they're never going to stand a chance with you. So that's my advice to you. I hope that helps. Anyway, guys, if you want any advice, just make sure to go on the podcast app on Apple and just in your review to me, write your dating question or funny sex story, and I will make sure to feature you on my podcast next week. Love you. Let's get this episode started.
Today I have like the most amazing guest ever. It's JoJo. Hi.
What's up, Violet?
So basically, for those of you, if you live under a rock, which I doubt,
JoJo is basically one of the youngest artists to top the Billboard charts at just 13. As of 2017, she even has her own record label. She has so many hits, which at 13, she's saying, get out right now. I mean, I'm not doing a good job, but...
You're killing it. You sound great.
All day. And then actually earlier this summer, JoJo released her fourth studio album, Good to Know, debuting at number one on the R&B albums charts. Its first week, she received widespread acclaim from Associated Press, Vulture, Time, Variety, so many other ones. And even Vulture called it the horniest album of quarantine. And you guys probably also know that song from, it was huge on TikTok as well. I feel like we were all like dancing to it. And also she has a new deluxe album she's releasing August 28th, featuring five new tracks, including the new single, What You Need, which features...
It's JoJo featuring JoJo, What You Need.
And literally she also got Demi Lovato to be a part of this. So that's really exciting. So check out What You Need video and make sure to listen to the full deluxe album. Okay, if you could go back to 17, would you make new mistakes or would you just fix the old mistakes?
Ooh, that's a good question. if I were 17 again, I would have gone to college. Like, I would have, because I committed to Northeastern University. I'm from Massachusetts and I wanted to go to a Boston school. I was gonna go for sociology, cultural anthropology, and I just would have done it. I would have just taken those 4 years and done it. So. I don't regret anything, but with hindsight, obviously you're like, okay, that could have been maybe a better use of my time as opposed to other things.
It's so weird. I actually do the same thing where, and people have asked me and I've talked about it with my mom. I always go back and I say like, I wish I would have taken school more seriously. And when she's like, it doesn't even matter. But like, I'm like, I feel like for myself, to feel like I'm smart enough for myself, like I wish I would take it more seriously and I went to like a better university and I didn't fuck around as much. Because I do regret that part. I agree.
Me and my other girlfriends who are like in some form of entertainment or the other, we're talking about how, you know, we've been working since we were so young and we've known what we wanted to do. But even though we know that we're intelligent women and worldly and, you know, have a lot of information under our belts, we still feel like a little bit self-conscious about the fact that we don't have those college degrees.
I agree. I feel like
it's just a thing.
What would you say most people don't know about you?
How fucking cool I am. I'm awesome. No, I think not. I guess people, I've had a lot of songs that are really like serious and emotional and about turmoil and strife and stuff, but that's not what I lead with in my daily life. I love to have fun. I think I'm pretty chill. And I think that's what maybe a misconception is, that I'm always so serious and angsty.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I can relate. I feel like one misconception about me since I'm daddy issues is that people just assume like I'm always drunk and I'm like always sucking dick. And I'm like, no, it's like 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Like I'm obviously not doing
that. You gotta wait till after 6.
I have a schedule and they don't get that.
No, I so that's how I found you, through daddy issues, because me and my girlfriends would send each other these things. And I'm like, who is this bitch? You know, she's hilarious. And I love your content. And, but of course it would appear, I mean, if people can't extract you from the content, then that's kind of their own fault. Like obviously it's satire and you're playing up a certain aspect of your interests.
Yeah, exactly. So from 1 to 10, how weird would you say you are? What's like the weirdest thing about you?
Well, help me understand, like, give me an example of what the weirdest thing is about you.
Let me think. Now I'm like, shit, I asked the question. I don't know. What is the weirdest thing about me? The weirdest thing about me is that it's so weird. Okay, it's this weird obsession because I grew up, obviously, hands daddy issues. I grew up with daddy issues. So my father was working away so long that whenever you'd be home for like even like a few weeks or a month at a time, he would be working on things, fixing it, so I could smell his sweat. And that's how I had a memory of my dad when he would be gone for a few months. Like I would smell. So every time I smelled sweat, it would like remind me of my dad.
Your own sweat? Anybody's sweat?
Yes. And now I have this weird obsession that I love to smell things. So I'm like, everyone else gets grossed out by smelling everything, and I'll smell everything. Sometimes I even will, like, if I can feel myself sweating, I go into my armpits really quick and I sniff my armpit. And that's probably the grossest / weirdest thing about me that I normally have never admitted out loud because it's so disgusting.
Everybody does weird shit like that, obviously. Okay, let's see. So that's a good one.
Thank you. So yeah, go off.
Weirdest thing about me. Look, this was pre-COVID. This is before. This is how I lived my life recklessly before. I love eating off of people's plates. I love eating. I like trying other people's food. I like sharing my own food. So it's not like I'll eat your food, but I won't share mine. It's just like, oh, I want to try a bunch of different things. I also want you to try my drink. Like, if you're a cute girl at a bar and I just, you know, like, as you would be, if I were to, like, walk into a place and meet you and, like, we strike up a conversation, I like, 2 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, try my drink. It's so good. Now I would never ever fucking do that, obviously.
Yeah.
But I guess I didn't really have that. I didn't have a fear of germs. And that's probably why I got mono a few years ago.
That's
because I was just like, you know, in my early 20s, I was the kissing bandit. I would just like just make out with people.
So you just love sharing.
Just make out. And yeah, I just love sharing. So
you share your food, you share your drinks, you share your men?
No, I don't share my men. I mean, I have once, but it's probably not something that I'll make a recurring theme.
Got it. Yeah, I can't like share. I can share my food, but I can't share my men because I'm just way too jealous. And like, I can't, that's why when people make those jokes about like threesomes, I'm like, no, I'm literally, I would just leave. I'd be so upset. I'd be like, I'm out. I can't do this because I'm just like.
But is that because, are you not into women at all? Because I feel like you have to kind of like women a little bit to be open to a threesome. Cause then, you know what I mean?
This weekend I was with a few people. And I wasn't interested in the guys, so this girl that I invited for my guy friends ended up cog blocking them by just hooking up with her myself. So when I say I'm not into girls, I like everyone, but it's like, but maybe I just like attention. I don't know. That's where my daddy issues come from.
I love the self-awareness. It's a good question. Am I just into attention, or do I like everything? I don't know.
Yeah, we ended up hooking up in the pool. I interviewed her recently on my podcast, and we ended up getting really close, like super close.
Like in each other's tonsils. That's what's up.
Yeah, I was like topless in the pool. We're just making out. We forgot like anyone else was just like even there at the house. And now after that, I was like, she was like, oh, I'm looking for a place for a few months. I was like, yeah, just move in. And then when I sobered up, I was like, V, you got to take it slower with people.
Like, you moved this bitch in. Oh my God.
Today's podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve says that the best part of staying at home is playing at home. Take advantage of that downtime and choose almost any one item on their site right now at 50% off. When you do, you're also going to get 10 free boredom busting gifts, including 6 spicy movies, a 3-piece bonus kit, and best of all, free shipping delivered discreetly right to your door. Just remember to use my offer code VIOLET50. That's VIOLET50 at checkout. Adam and Eve has thousands of products to make you glad that you're staying at home. Sex toys make being at home so much better and more enjoyable. I mean, even shopping from home is more enjoyable when you're shopping for sex toys. So go to adamandeve.com and use my offer code VIOLET50. Masturbate the troubles away. You're welcome, guys. So anyway, so yeah, tell me about your threesome experience.
I was starting to see if I really liked this guy that I had known for a long time. The thing with me is that if I'm going to be intimate with somebody, I have to trust them and know them for like a long time. so that's why I've ended up getting close with, you know, people who I like just have known for a long time, never saw them in that light, but then because we have developed this trust, blah blah blah. So anyway, I hooked up with this guy a few times. He was a good friend. I was attracted to this other girlfriend of mine. I kind of just made a decision one night that this is what I wanted, and I planted the seeds in both of their ears, and everyone was down, and that was kind of that. It was cool, but I realized that I liked him too much to let them go all the way.
Was it in the middle of it? Like, as they're hooking up, you're suddenly, you're just like, oh my God, I realize I love you.
Like, no, it wasn't that extreme, but I was just like, let me just try to reel this back a little bit.
Oh, got it. Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like a lot of people that I know that have had threesomes, a lot of the time it's the P doesn't go in the V for the other girl. And that's how they can kind of, I still think it's not me. Like, I can't do it. Plus, I don't know. I like, 1-on-1 is already more than enough for me. At this point, I'm also getting older. I'm just so tired. Like, I don't have energy for two people. It feels too much.
Bitch, how old are you? Like, what are you talking about? You're too tired.
I'm 31. So I'm older.
Oh, wow. So old.
I'm already, like, I have those, like, the bus tickets where for, like, seniors, I have those. And I get senior discount. Once you hit 30, you start to get senior discount. It's been really amazing. That's probably the highlight of being 30.
Wow, I didn't know that. It's only up from here. I'm really excited.
Okay, so if you can go back in the beginning of all of your fame, because you got famous at such a young age, is there something that you wish someone would have told you?
That nothing is the end of the world until it's the end of the world.
Aww.
Like, you're going to get through everything. You just will. And also, don't trust, like, 95% of these men out here.
Wow, that's on facts. I agree with that.
Hard facts.
Have you had a really bad experience with somebody in entertainment industry which made you, especially as a young person, being groomed or something that you didn't realize that was inappropriate or weird or wrong?
Girl, I'm having this awakening right now that I'm thinking back and I'm processing, you know, experiences and memories and looking at certain relationships and realizing that they were not appropriate, you know, realizing that when I was 17 and I met this person who was in his mid-30s and I looked to him as a mentor and everything. And when I turned 18, that he had been kind of grooming me, and that when our relationship turned sexual, I felt like I was empowered and making a decision, but in actuality, I was being manipulated and gaslit and taken advantage of. Wow. And that's just something that that 10 years later, because when I think about my male friends who are in their 30s, they would never. You should not be with an 18-year-old in a sexual way when she has no experience, blah blah blah. Like, and I do think that my daddy issues, my need for validation and attention, and just a lot of different things made me vulnerable to older men coming in and getting what they wanted. Does that make sense?
No, I can 100% relate to this, and I 100% agree with you, especially I feel like because of when we were younger growing up, the society wasn't as woke as now. So a lot of things Absolutely. That was happening to us as women, we weren't even aware that it was wrong. And also the men, a lot of them weren't raised to tell you, like, oh, if a girl's way too wasted, don't try to have sex with her. Because in college, exactly. It seemed like it was so normal, you know?
Have you seen the show I May Destroy You?
No, but now I want to.
Okay, I really want you to watch it. It's about consent and substances and about memory and about, like, just the gray area of consent and, like, what you were talking about with, I guess, not just, unfortunately, a lot of boys and men weren't raised to not take advantage of a situation. Like, if a girl is wasted, blacked out, I didn't know that that is technically rape.
I didn't know that either. Yeah.
If you don't know, what happened. And that happened to, you know,
that happened to me and all my friends.
Now I'm realizing, exactly, it's happened to so many of us. And now I'm like, I wonder if he knows what he did is considered that.
Did you ever find yourself accidentally blaming yourself when you were in situations like that? That it's like, well, it's my fault. I put myself in this situation, blah, blah, blah.
All the time. But now I'm in my late 20s, I'm trying to have compassion for that younger me, for that teenage and early 20s self, just any former iteration of me. I'm trying to have compassion because I'm really just trying to like rationalize while going through this awakening.
I agree with you. I feel like when I was younger, like I've been in situations where like I got too drunk or whatever, and then somebody maybe took advantage of me. And then years later, I look at my guy friends who have slept in their bed for like 10 years and they never touched me. And I'm just like, that's when you realize like, wait, this should have never happened. Like they would never do that to me. Like people who make you feel safe shouldn't then take advantage of you when you finally feel you're most comfortable. Because I thought you were supposed to protect me. You're supposed to keep me safe. And then you took advantage of me.
Exactly. 100%. I actually have been having these conversations with my two best guy friends. And after watching this show that I told you about, like the show isn't all serious. It's actually, there's a lot of levity to it and it's just really, really well done and thought provoking. But I was like, yo, I've been friends with this one guy friend since we were 12 years old and he's straight. It's not like he, you know, isn't into women, but he's respectful of me and my boundaries and like, everybody deserves to feel like that.
I agree. When was your last relationship, speaking of dating or hooking up and all that stuff?
I have someone special in my life right now.
You do?
I do. There's someone special, but I still consider myself single.
So me.
I know that sounds kind of nebulous.
I'm married, but I still consider myself single.
I really hope that that's not how I get down.
No, I'm kidding.
You know, when I get married, but I'm just taking things one day at a time.
How did you meet him?
We've known each other a really long time.
I feel like those make for the best relationships.
Those are my favorites. Like it's so scary for me to think about having a new person come into my life. I don't trust nobody. I'm so skeptical.
I can tell. I feel like just meeting you on this, I can tell, because I ask you a question and then you go, well, why don't you answer first? And I was just like, oh, okay. She's not like, I'm like, okay, let me make her comfortable. Let's talk about anal. About my first time.
It's not about making me comfortable though. It's just about, I'm buying myself time because I don't know.
Oh.
For me, I was just like, fuck, I don't have an answer off top. So maybe she can give me an idea of what.
Oh, got it.
It's interesting that how we think. We know like where the other person is coming from, but in actuality, I was like, I just feel embarrassed.
You know what it is? It comes from insecurity. So then this is what just happened. I projected my insecurities onto you because I have a wall up with people. Then I just assume, she's putting up a wall with me. But really, you were just like, no, I'm just trying to come up with an answer. And I made it so much deeper because that's where my rooted, like most insecurities are coming from. That's so funny.
I love this therapy session. This is good. I just love introspection so we can actually be like, hey, this is why I'm doing this and maybe it's not true, maybe I need to question my own. Anyway, I do this all day, so I'm glad that
I literally sit and do that. Hey guys, introducing one of our new sponsors today, which is BetterHelp Counseling. As you're aware, I talk about anxiety and depression a lot throughout my podcast, and especially with everything that's happening right now with quarantine, I think BetterHelp is perfect for anyone that's looking for a little bit of side help. So if you think that you may be depressed or you're feeling anxious or stressed or overwhelmed, BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who are trained to listen and help you. Talk with your counselor in private online environment at your own convenience from wherever you're comfortable with. These counselors have expertise in a broad range of areas such as anxiety, grief, depression, relationships, difficulty sleeping, LGBT matters, trauma, loss, anger, family conflict, self-esteem, and so much more. All you have to do is fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs and get matched with your perfect counselor in just under 48 hours. If for whatever reason you're not happy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time and no additional charge. So join the million plus people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp counselor. In fact, so many people have been joining and using BetterHelp that they're currently recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. BetterHelp is an affordable option, and our listeners get 10% off of your first month with my discount code TOOTIRED. That's TOOTIRED. So get started today at betterhelp.com/TOOTIRED. That's betterhelp.com/TOOTIRED. Talk to a therapist online and get the help you need. Love you guys.
We've known each other forever. Here's the truth of how we met. I met him through this guy that I dated for like 1 month. So I've known this guy now for like 8 years. Well, no, I've known him for like 6-7 years. And I met him because I lived across the street from him, and the guy that I was seeing for like a month was like, you gotta meet my friend. You guys would have so much in common. And now neither of us talk to that guy because he's not right in the head.
Oh.
And he has like some charges on him and stuff. Oh, okay. And like, he's not a good dude. He's not a good dude. And we both found that out. So we became really close and we're friends for a long time, but we were never looked at each other that way, the whole thing. And then, but he's fine. Like, he's super fine. So then I just looked at him one day, years down the line, a couple years down the line, when we were both single. And we were in New York City together. And I was like, why have we never made out? And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, okay. And I just go about my day, my night. And then we end up making out that night. And then, you know, and we've been really cool for a long time.
When you start writing one of your newest albums and quarantine happened, I was reading how it said that you were celibate then for 10 months during that time. But one of the reasons you decided to go celibate was because you cheated on your boyfriend at the time, right? Mm-hmm. So, as somebody, have you ever been cheated on?
So many times, yes.
So what's more painful, being cheated on or cheating on someone?
I think as somebody who's cheated, it's not fair for me to say, well, being, you know, cheating on somebody is more painful, because like someone would hear that and be like, yo, fuck off. So I think both are very painful. I think because you're totally out of control when someone cheats on you, that's probably a worse feeling.
Yeah.
But knowing that you are the source of someone's pain and them feeling disrespected, invalidated, insecure, you know, it brings up a lot of things. When you really care about somebody, even though your actions seemed like you didn't care about them from cheating, sometimes that's just not true. Like, you can make a bad decision and really love and care about somebody. And so that was really hard for me to process the shame and guilt around that, and to accept what I, like, the pain I had caused and just the inconvenience.
Yeah. Did it take you a long time to forgive yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Over a year for sure. And that period of abstinence was really important for me, because I had been in relationships since I was 14. I just like jumped from relationship to relationship. And I realized that I wasn't very good at being alone and figuring out how to really just entertain myself. And I realized that I didn't love myself and that I wanted to be smothered with love and affection so I didn't have to face myself.
So do you think you cheated because you self-sabotage, or just because, why do you think you cheated on your ex?
I think it was fear. I think it was like me having been cheated on in almost every, not every, but like three other relationships before that. And just feeling like, well, men are gonna do this, so might as well.
Just do it first.
Yeah, you know, as a defense mechanism. And also feeling like it wasn't because I was like sexually dissatisfied or like right. We had a bad relationship. It wasn't that at all. It was just me being selfish and self-sabotaging.
What was the process that you needed to do for yourself? Because one thing I feel like a lot of the time in my podcast in general, it's always about like going through being cheated on, and I never really fully discussed what it's like when you cheat on somebody. And I do think it's still important, like, even if you did, like I've explained to girls before, when somebody cheats on you, it never has anything to do with you. It has to do with the other person, which is what you're currently explaining. And I still think, regardless, if you've done something like that, you still need to forgive yourself. I feel like that's a very important step. So what did you do, like, throughout the whole year, like, what did you need to do with yourself in order to forgive yourself and the shame and everything that you were feeling? Like, how did you get through it?
I did little things that I could, like, build up my trust with myself, because I had not only broken this person's trust, but I also, like, couldn't trust myself. I was like, oh, so I might just, like, on a whim, just go and feed my ego. I really needed to check my ego. And so I listened to so many talks on YouTube and different podcasts and spiritual teachings, dismantling the ego, understanding that it's two sides of the same coin, you know, feeling like absolutely nothing and then feeling totally invincible and just untouchable. And I just had to, like, question my motives. Like, why did I do that? Anyway, I just questioned everything and spent time alone so I wasn't distracted in the arms of somebody else, like I have done before. I know this is so LA, and I am an East Coast girl, but I lived in LA a long time, and like, yoga, it grounded me. It made me feel better. Meditation and yoga.
Yeah.
And spending time with my girlfriends and being out in nature. And I also did write this person letters. You know, I wrote them emails, and I wrote songs, and I just needed them to know how I felt and how sad, just how sorry I was.
Did you feel like that relationship couldn't be salvaged after that?
At the time, I felt like it couldn't be salvaged.
Quick shout out to another one of our sponsors today, which is Ship App. As you know, cuffing season is coming up, and with quarantine already happening, there's nothing worse than being alone during quarantine and cuffing season, which is why I would love to recommend this new dating app that I've been trying lately called Ship. That's S-H-I-P. Ship is different because you can invite your friends to swipe on guys for you. You don't need to make a profile or anything like that. You can just join your friend's crew and start swiping. So it's really cool. You and your friends can just have a ton of fun on Ship. So if you are terrible at dating and make terrible decisions like me, what better way than to have your friends do it for you? Maybe finally you won't be single anymore. The best part, if you're not single, you can still join Ship and you can help your friends out. One of the fun things about Ship is that there's a group chat with your crew. So if you suck at starting conversations with guys, which, by the way, can't relate, but sucks for you, then your friends can just start it for you or tell you what to say on the app. There's also this really cool activity feed where you can see how your friend is swiping. And if they are being way too picky or not picky enough, you can totally call them out on it. So it's basically like stalking your BFF without leaving your house, which I love. So download Ship, the app, that's S-H-I-P. Search for Ship Dating in the App Store to start swiping today. Do you feel like you self-sabotage your love if it was going well because maybe you didn't feel worthy of love on your own for yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah. I have this song on my last album called I Am, and it's just a mantra pretty much. It's affirmations being like, I am, I am, I am, I am worthy of love. Am I, am I, am I, am I strong enough? Cause it feels like I'm not anything at all. I am, blah, 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 but I am, I am. That's beautiful. Thank you. It's a ballad, so I was just speeding it up just for these purposes. But I wrote that song because I needed to fucking believe that. Like, I don't always feel intrinsically worthy of love. I was like, oh, I need to perform these actions, or I need to look this way or fit into this or have this, you know, whatever, to be worthy. So it definitely speaks to an insecurity. which is where the self-sabotage comes from. And also just kind of maybe being used to chaos. That might stem from childhood, you know, from not having any stability. And I can't say any stability. Let me give my mother more credit than that. But, you know, a lack of stability.
So you think, yeah, because I was going to ask, where do you think that pain is coming from? Where the lack of believing that you deserve, that you're worthy of love?
When you grow up around addiction very closely, as a child, it's confusing to know why you're not chosen over that, you know? So that's what I'll say about that. Because I don't like to, you know, tell people stories, but...
Of course. Yeah. No, I can totally relate. There's certain things that I feel like I could never address, even with a therapist who you're supposed to tell everything. I feel like somebody would be like, well, why would you ask me about that? Like, I already know. And I told you I don't want to talk about it. And he's like, but you're paying me to talk about it.
Yo, honestly, I really encourage you to be brutally transparent with your therapist, though. Like, he's not going to tell anyone. I swear to God, he's not. Like, you're not doing anything wrong to your parents or to anybody. You have to tell them. And you don't have to tell anybody else.
Actually, I read that you believe in therapy so much. You've been going since you were young and you still continue to this day to go once a week. Why do you think therapy is so important?
I actually talked to my therapist for the first time since everything started with COVID, like a couple days ago. So we caught up for the first time in a few months. But I started talking to her when I was about 20. So she's known me through my 20s, which is really cool. And why do I think it's important? I think if we're privileged enough to have the resources to, you know, talk to a professional therapist, it's just really helpful if you want to confront issues that you have or process emotions that maybe you're still holding on to, resentment, abuse, tragedy, loss. Or even just being a fucking human being in the world is pretty wild. And it's nice to have somebody to bounce things off of.
What would you tell somebody if they're asking you for advice if they grew up with a parent that was going through addiction and they felt not worthy of love because of that? How would you tell them to cope through that?
I know that there's resources like Al-Anon and Alateen and things like that, which is a community for children whose parents or, you know, family members are addicts. So I think that'd be a good resource. But for me, music was like a very consistent friend and source in my life. So I hope that everybody can find something that makes me feel like music feels, that I can escape to and I can escape inside of, because it's just really nice to have that when you feel that instability.
That's really inspiring. What are some things that you've done when it comes to self-sabotaging except the cheating part? Like in relationships, do you have any other things that you think you used to do that you self-sabotage those relationships?
Mm-hmm. I'll bring up like previous boyfriends. I'm the worst.
Oh my God, I do that too.
Why do I do that? Why are we like this?
I do that
like,
too.
I have to stop. Like I'm stopping, but I'm still processing shit. So I think because I end up being like in these best friendships / loverships with, you know, whoever I'm with, I'm like still, I'm talking to them as if I'm talking to a girlfriend, but it's like not appropriate.
Yes.
To talk about an ex lover.
I didn't.
I'm forgetting that because I'm fucking, I'm like, I'm ridiculous. Yeah, that's it.
I still do that. My mom always tells me, Violetta, that's not appropriate. Stop doing that. And I still do that because I'm like, no, they don't care. We're just friends. They do care. Don't talk about other guys.
They do care. As cool as they are, as cool as they act, I think they care.
Like one of the last guys I was dating when I was not in my best place in life, mentally, I feel like when we're dating, we're literally about to have sex. And I was like, oh yeah, the last guy I fucked, he was like, oh my, his dick was so big. It was so good with him in bed. Anyway, should we have sex?
Are you serious?
It was just randomly blurred out. And he was so insecure, he couldn't get his dick up. It was one of the reasons we broke up.
I mean, just like us, I mean, like our head is totally connected to our pussy and their dick is the same way. I mean, if you like plant this image in them, it's just going to be hard for them. Like, I recently, as I was processing these things that I was telling you about when I was 18 and realizing, wow, that was assault, or that was not appropriate, or I was groomed, or whatever. Then I tried to make a move after, like, talking about this for a few hours with the guy that I'm, you know, telling you about. Then I, like, made a move on him, and that was, he was just like, I'm not feeling sexual right now. Hey, I understand. He's like, you are? I'm like, I've compartmentalized everything and I'm ready to fuck.
You're like, all these men took advantage of me. Should we fuck? It's like, no.
But it's because he wouldn't. You know what I mean? It's one of those,
Oh my God, that's so funny. Would you say you're still, even though you already, I feel like those, because I know for me, I agree with you, like I was reading everything you were doing during quarantine. I feel like quarantine has literally first brought out the worst in me, and then it brought out the best in me, and I've changed so much as a person during quarantine. Do you feel like you went through the whole process of finding love within yourself, or are you still in the process of finding it? Can you ever like fully find it?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a cycle. And I think that there's like different tiers. And tiers like T-I-E-R-S, but also tears like T-E-A-R-S. Like, we're gonna shed some tears and ascend some tears, whatever. But no, I really do dig myself today. I really do love myself. And I still fall into like negative ways of thinking. And I try to check myself and be like, hey, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And my coping mechanisms have gotten better, and I trust myself, and I do what I tell myself I'm going to do, and that makes me feel good. And therefore I can be someone that I look in the mirror and I'm like, you're cool. You are a resilient.
I love that.
You are beautiful on the inside and outside. And, I used to like, I was realizing this the other day, that my eyes used to dart around and see what men were looking at me. And I have become someone who now really does not care who's trying to lock eyes with me or not, or what type of response I'm getting. Like, it really is more of a blinders on type thing. And it feels better that way. I was really hungry for validation.
Me too. I can 100% relate to that. I actually love something that you just said that I weirdly never realized until you said it. So honestly, congratulations, because I think I'm so good at analyzing myself and the world that like I miss this part. But I thought it was really smart that part of like trusting yourself. That's so true. It's like this part of like loving yourself, you finally reach a point where you trust yourself. And once you trust yourself and your instincts, that's what I feel like you're really your most confident self. I really love that you mentioned that part. I didn't even realize that I nowadays trust myself with like things. And because in the past it used to be like, well, I don't know what I'm doing, so like, let me go seek like validation from this man. And now it's like, if I make this decision, I'm trusting in myself that I know what's best for me, or I'm trusting in myself to love myself and to seek love within myself. So, and
to nurture yourself.
Yeah.
Yourself. Like, yeah. You really can. And I think a lot of us, whether we had like, whether someone feels like they had quote unquote the best childhood of all time, or they feel like they had a really terrible one, I think a lot of us are reparenting ourselves and like giving ourselves what it is that we needed a little bit more of.
Hey guys, quickly want to introduce our last sponsor of the podcast today, which is Chomps. Chomps is dedicated to producing a net positive effect on the environment and becoming carbon neutral. To do so, Chomps sources from farmers that follow natural, regenerative agricultural methods like rotational grazing. Chomps meat snacks are a high-quality pantry staple that can be delivered conveniently to your door. It's especially a great option if you're limiting your grocery store shopping but still want that nutritious staples on hand. Chump uses the highest quality proteins, including ASPCA, certified grass-fed and finished beef and venison. Chump products are Whole30 compliant, paleo-friendly, keto-friendly, and free from all 8 major allergens. Chump's Italian beef and sea salt beef flavors are AIP-friendly. Their products are free from GMOs, gluten, soy, dairy, added sugar, and any other added artificial preservatives or coloring or sweeteners.
All Chum's products are nutrient-dense and contain healthy fats like omega-3s and lean protein. So if you need something to snack on, make sure to order Chomps now at www.chomps.com/violet. If you use my code Violet15, you can get 50% off of your entire order. That's Violet15, V-I-O-L-E-T-1-5. So just go to www.chomps.com/violet and use my promo code Violet15 for 15% off. Enjoy.
I've never spoken to you 5 years ago, but like the person I'm speaking to now, I don't know what you're currently been growing or whatever. Like, I just want to say you sound so intellectual, and like even when we started speaking, like you can tell like this person has been through stuff, but she like has working on herself, and you just seem like you've been it's like growth. It's like, you know, you have so much depth and so much growth. So honestly, like, I'm like just amazed. Like, I think sometimes you just don't know where you're going to get from a person you're interviewing or a person you meet for the first time. But like, you seriously have so much depth to you. So I just want to give you
tell
that.
Tell me what you expected. Give me the tea. Spill it on me. What were you preparing yourself for?
No, I don't know. You just never know. You don't know if someone's going to be really closed off, or you don't know if they're just going to... You know, a lot of times when you meet a personality in general, you don't know if they have a personality or if it's just all fabricated for the internet, or you can be very self-deprecating, or maybe you didn't do as much growth on yourself because you have so many managers behind you always telling you what to do. I just never know what to expect. But like when I'm sitting with you, it's like this person that's like, you're thinking about everything. You're like logical. You like, you know that you've been hurt. You know you've hurt people. Now you're like, okay, how do I grow from it? Like, it's really deep and it's really interesting. It's really intellectual. And I can tell, like, oh, I can have an actual conversation with her. It's not going to be painful for me to do this interview. Not that it ever is, but yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yes, sometimes it is. Like, I've been on both sides of that. So I do like when it's just an energetic exchange. So anyway, thank you for that, your compliments. That's
of
nice.
Course, I love. Good. Okay, well, now compliment me. I'm kidding.
You're bomb, Violet. Violetta.
Obviously. You don't even need to compliment me. I already know. I'm kidding.
Hey.
Okay, so, I love this one. If you could say something right now to your younger self about loving herself on days that she didn't feel that great about herself, what would you tell her?
I would say that excess is not going to make you feel better. Like, more drinks, more food, more things, it's not going to make you feel better. It's actually going to make you feel more empty and give you a really bad hangover. And, you know, just it's so that's what I would say. But as far as like words of comfort, I think all you can really say to somebody, I just at 18, like or a teenager in general, I just don't know how much I would have listened. Or how much anybody
so
would
true.
Listen.
So true, yeah.
So that's why I'm really like apprehensive to give advice. My mom is over here going, they listen zero.
She's so right.
And, you know, it's true. Like, I'm only starting to listen now. I feel like, I always say, yes, Ma. I feel like people shouldn't be let out the house until they're 25, period.
Do you feel like you appreciate your mom and her advice so much more now than you did when you were younger?
Yes, I was just resistant to it. I just didn't have respect.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons. But now I'm able to find that respect, and our dynamic is really good. And I do seek out her advice in some things.
I'm like that too. I feel like when I was younger, my mom would try to give me advice, and I was so desperate for my dad's affection and attention, even though I wasn't getting it from him. Then my mom, she was so loving, and I was like, dude, stop. And it was more about, like, my dad.
So much.
Yeah, like, why do you love me so much? And it was just about, like, trying to get it from my father who wasn't giving it to me. He, like, forget.
Is your dad still alive?
Yeah. Yes, he is. God forbid.
You're not sure.
No, I'm knocking on wood. I'm just like, God forbid. Okay. Yeah, he is alive right now. My parents are still together. Pardon?
I said, are you guys cool now?
We are cool now. It took me years to... That's what people don't understand, because the dynamic is weird because my parents are still together, but I didn't grow up with him because he worked away a lot. So only when we moved to the U.S. when I was 14, we won the green card lottery. And when we moved to the U.S., it was the first time for his job. He had to work then from home. And it was the first time in my life that I actually lived with my dad. So then it went from like not really... It was like this... Santa, I would call him, because he would come home
wow.
three times a year, and were present, it went to him living with me, and we were not getting along, and it was the worst. And like, we I've said this before, I think, in the past, that with my father, it wasn't until my early 20s that my father and I were ever even hugged or kissed each other in the cheek or even said I love you. It would be once a year on a birthday card. So, but
did he change that behavior? Or did
I changed it. It's because when I finally became Daddy Issues, it was the first time I was finding myself through the fans and the followers that helped me find myself. And it was the first time in my life that I was like, because I used to, it was the weirdest thought as a child to be scared of your father rejecting you. I was, because when I saw my friends hugging their father, I was just like, how are you doing that? And they were like, you don't hug your dad. And I was like, what if he's like, ew, don't touch me. And it's crazy for me now to think as an older person that as a child, I thought that my own father would be like, ew, gross, cooties, like, don't touch me. But that's what I thought. And it was only until I got older that I was like, you know what? I don't know how much longer, like, I have on this earth in general, how much longer my parents have. And like, I want to forgive my dad and I want to forgive myself.
It's
for me,
your experience
literally right? And I was like, I love my dad. I don't care that maybe I didn't feel like loved by him. I love him and I want him to know that. So I'm gonna be brave enough for myself and I'm gonna hug him and I'm gonna tell him I love him and I don't care if he rejects me because I want him to know how I feel. And that's when I started to like hug my dad and say it out loud. And my whole family's dynamic, we've all changed. We're so much like softer and nicer, but it started with me.
That's so powerful.
Thank you. Is this
it
interview?
Really is. Like doing things without being okay with whatever the result is and not being attached to an expectation. Woo!
That changes everything.
But it's a game changer. Like when you just give love because you feel love and you're like, well, if they don't match it or if they don't stroke my ego in the way, and I'm not talking about like you needing your dad to stroke your ego. I'm thinking about like in a more romantic relationship type way. But if you just give love and without fear, because fear and love are opposite of each other, and you were experiencing this fear of rejection, but you still, it's really, really
it's powerful. Honestly so powerful. And I'm so thankful that I was strong enough for myself to finally found myself in order to do that. And I do wish that for everyone else. Obviously not every relationship is salvable and I don't know every person's experience, but I'm thankful for myself that the time that I now do, of course we don't have a perfect relationship. We still don't, but for me, it's as best as it can be. Cause when people ask me, are you close with your dad? I say yes. But compared to regular people closeness, no. Because like my father and I, when we talk here and there, it's like we email each other. And so like, but that's already such a step further than it used to be. So for me, we're close. And like, I know he loves me and I love him. I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Whatever. Does he live in the States?
Why is this interview going about me? I'm gonna...
We're just having a back and forth.
No, my parents live in Simi Valley. Because when we won the green card lottery, we all moved here together.
Oh, this is what I wanted to say. So they've suspended the green card lottery, right? I mean, under the Trump administration, there's definitely no more green card lotteries for America.
Is there? I feel like I have not followed that as much, but I'm also from the Middle East. So then probably in the Middle East, they did probably suspend it at this point.
I'm pretty
sure
it's just across the board that they're not doing that anymore. My first boyfriend and his family won a green card lottery from Ghana, West Africa, and came to the States when he was like, I don't know, 10 or 11 or something. And those lottery things are so amazing. And so many people like you and him and plenty of others have that just crazy story.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing. It's weird that like I forget sometimes that not everyone even knows what a green card lottery is or have gone through it. Because I just assume like it's a known thing. But yeah, I guess it is a very cool thing. Like, so I had a green card for 5 years and then I became a citizen by like I took the citizenship test. Then I had to do the whole singing, like it's in the stadium thing and we're all singing the when you after
national
you pass
anthem?
Yeah, after you pass the test, you sing the national anthem with a bunch of people, other people there who just passed it. It's really interesting. Yeah. It's
okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Do you speak any other languages except English or?
I wish. I don't. I actually paid somebody because I was in a private distance learning program and I paid somebody to do my Spanish homework and my Spanish work while I was like on the road and doing homeschooling and stuff. So I was a real shithead.
Ooh.
And I should have taken it more seriously. And that hasn't been something I've done during quarantine. Like I spent a lot of time cooking and baking and stuff, but no time Rosetta Stoning.
So. Yeah, that was literally my goal in the beginning of quarantine. I was like, I'm going to learn to play, replay the violin again, and I'm going to relearn how to speak French. No, it was French. And then I want to also learn sign language. I'm going to build a few puzzles. Literally none of that. And it's been like a lot of ice cream, Netflix, masturbating.
Yes, absolutely.
When you said you were celibate for 10 months, did that then not include masturbating, or that didn't count?
It absolutely included masturbation. No, meaning I did masturbate.
Yeah.
I was just like, really, what I didn't want to be penetrated. I didn't want to receive anybody's energy.
What you're saying is so true, and I've tried to explain to my friends when my friends are fucking their exes or guys are toxic, I tell them, don't do that. They are literally entering inside of you, and they're entering all their bad energy inside of you. Please explain that.
Thinking about these guys who just did not deserve my intimacy, you know, like before I woke up to how wonderful I am, I was just like, taking on this toxicity and not realizing it. But it is so true. As women, we receive and we take it on. So I wanted a break from that. I just didn't. And it felt really powerful to say no and to be desired but not had. I really, really liked it.
I feel like it's weirdly what I'm going through where now I'm just like, I don't need to sleep with somebody for them to pursue me. If they don't want to pursue me, then now I just know that they weren't right for me because all they wanted is sex.
Exactly.
So bye.
Exactly. Yeah. And at this point, if you want to just have sex, it's so easy. Any woman can find somebody to have sex with them. But like, that's at a certain point, we're looking for more.
I agree. I love that. So. And you found that more at this point. I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but so far, so good.
Yeah, I've already said too much, so everything's cool.
Wait, what's your sign? People hate when I ask about this, but I just need to know.
I like it. I'm a Sagittarius.
Oh, you are? I'm a Scorpio.
Scorpios are fun.
Yes, we are. Maybe we're not compatible dating-wise, but yeah, we're fun like to be friends.
But sexually, we are.
Oh, sexually, yeah. Very fun. I agree. Sexually, we are really fun. I agree. What do you know the sign of the guy you're dating?
Yes, he is. He thought he was a Scorpio, but he's actually. I'm not doing this. I can't.
Oh, he's a cuss. Okay, cool. Okay, he's a cuss, which is great. That's good for you, actually. I know we're kind of running out of time, but did you want to kind of talk about your newest album and what people have to look forward to?
Yeah. So, Good to Know came out in the beginning of quarantine, and I didn't want to push it back because. Well, first of all, I'm so glad I didn't because now we've been in quarantine for the entire year. So I'm so glad I didn't push it back. And this album is about a lot of the things that we talked about shame, substances, sex, empowerment, lack thereof, realizing you need to be alone. And then, you know, just a lot of introspection, I guess, is what this album is about. And then the beats are just hard as fuck and the production is dope and it's the R&B album, like with a lot of sensuality and energy to it. And on August 28th, the deluxe version dropped and I'm really excited about the features on there because it's my girl Tinashe and Demi Lovato. And they just took these songs that I love and took them to the next level. And it feels really great to collaborate with women who are strong and bomb in their own way, and we're not competing with one another. We're really supporting and complimenting one another on these songs, and that just feels really nice. I want to do more of that. Feels very satisfying. And these new songs that are on the deluxe are kind of a continuation of like the confidence that I found at the end of the album of Good to Know, because it's kind of an arc, the sequence of the songs. And so these new ones that are at the end are really sexy, really fun, and I can't wait to see people dance to them because I love that everybody's just dancing now. Everybody's like become master dancers in their living room with TikTok and stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just love that. I'm just like, yes, I can't wait to see what people do with this.
Is there anything you feel like I didn't ask you?
No, I think you were a very great interviewer.
Fuck yeah. I still need that validation. I still need that validation. Thank you.
Me too.
So where can people find you?
You can find me online. Just there. Don't try to find me in person. It's I Am JoJo on Instagram and Twitter. And I Am JoJo Official online. Wait, I don't know what my website is, but just go to my Instagram because that's really where I am.
Yeah, find I Am JoJo.
TikTok is like I Am JoJo, I think.
Regardless, I'm going to find all of her handles and I'm going to put it in the description. So if you guys are looking for anything specific, you'll find it there. And then again, don't forget to check out her album and her deluxe, Good to Know, and all of the songs with everyone. Let me know which one's your favorite. And JoJo, thank you so much for coming on. I had so much fun with you. I feel like we talked about a lot of things, and I'm so excited just to see what else you're going to create, because if this is where you're coming out of, like, growth in 10 months, I can't wait to see where you are, like, next year and the following year. So I don't know you, but I'm really proud of you for everything you've achieved. So
thank you, beautiful. I'm proud of you, too.
Oh. Thank you. Tell your mom I say hi, and thank you so much again for coming on Too Tired to Be Crazy.
Thanks, boo.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Too Tired to Be Crazy with me on every Thursday. I love you guys, and I'll see you again next Thursday. Bye. 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 Bye.